time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can send in your questions and comments. And the question of the day, tried to make it a little generic today. Curious to see what you Giant fans are worried about and thinking about and concerned about as we head towards training camp in a couple months with minicamp ending today. So the question we threw out there on Twitter is, if you could ask Kevin Gilbride or Perry Fuel, and if you want to give one for both, we'll let you do that too, a question, what would that question be? And I guess why? So give us a call. Let us know at 201-939-4513 or send in your question for the two of them at hashtag Giants Chat. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear that question get asked at some point in the near future on Giants.com.
To leave out that Tom Quinn if they want to ask a special teams question.
Yeah, sure, why not? Well, I only have so many characters on Twitter. I can only include a couple of names.
I can't, you know me. I'm just a talkaholic. 140 characters is just far too little for me.
Well, that's true. All right. We're joined by Paul Dottino, by the way. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
I'm mixed. I'm happy because I'm here. I'm sad because it's the final day of minicamp, and we won't be convening again for about another 7 weeks.
And yesterday was really the last day of full-out practice. The last day of minicamp is usually more of like a, you know, walk-through, not quite as a hardcore type of practice.
Isn't that what they all are now? OTAs or flag footballs and walk-throughs. And
they had a couple brouhahas yesterday practice.
Tom wasn't too happy.
He was not, but you would do two different altercations. It was, I'm not going to call it a physical practice because there's not a lot of contact, but it was a spirited practice, I thought, where guys really were getting into it.
Well, you know, let's face it. By this point in time, guys have gone through several weeks of the off-season program. They've gone through, what is it now, 9 OTAs, John, and now a couple of days of mini camps. At this point, I mean, remember, these guys are football players. They hit. They get physical. They want to run. They want to do things. It's almost like telling a little 5-year-old to play in the sandbox and not giving them any sand in the box. You know, it just doesn't feel right unless you're getting into it. And I appreciate the coach's feelings. You don't want them to, but I guess it's understandable.
201-939-4513. Paul, let's get right to the calls, and we'll kind of sift through the rest of the stuff as we move along here. I want to get to Eric in North Dakota. Eric, good morning. I'm sorry, Eric. Go ahead. My fault.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear now, Eric. Sorry about that.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Hi.
What's up,
my
Eric?
Question. Yeah. My question right now is, actually two questions. What's the deal with the Cruz, and are they going to look for another wide receiver if they don't go up with the signing of Cruz?
Well, I'm going to make believe I'm Kevin Gilbride here for a second. I'm going to answer your two questions the way he would, and then maybe I'll give you a second chance. The first question is that we're trying to get Victor Cruz under contract. We hope he's here for training camp, and we're pretty happy with the wide receivers we have in camp right now.
Exactly.
Sounds good, Eric?
Yes, sir.
All right, man, you have a good one.
You too.
Appreciate it. See, that's the trick here. You got to phrase these questions so you can get something out of these guys. Even the coordinators, they know how coach speak works. So you got to try to phrase these things where, you know, you can get an answer out of them without, you know, making them feel like you're holding their feet to the fire to a certain extent.
You know,
it's tricky.
You know, the toughest part about Twitter in particular is that, you know, you don't get inflection on the printed word, John.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times I've had fans, you know, tweet me asking about...
Yeah, you're getting the terminology right,
Paul. Yeah, see?
Good job.
I caught myself.
Very, very impressive.
And they'll say, is Cruz there yet? Or is Cruz signing? Or when is Cruz signing? I don't know if they're being sarcastic, if they're being funny, or if they really, really mean what they're saying.
I think they really mean it.
Well, You know, I don't think Jerry Reese is even able to answer those questions right now.
I have a
but
well,
I do believe he'll be here by August 1st.
So do I. I think first week of training camp he'll be there.
Yes.
Bone to pick with you, by the way. My spies have told me that on the show you co-hosted on Tuesday, somebody called up and predicted that Ramsey's Barden would lead the Giants to touchdown catches, and you did not bring him to task on that.
Well, Ramsey's Barden, in all likelihood, is not even going to be on the 53. So why do you address that?
Well, that's why you got to lay the hammer down. I'm not here. You got to step up for me, Paul.
For me to totally
obliterate. That's what I want to use. Obliterate.
Okay. Well, to blow this poor guy out of the water for his Ramsey's Barden comment just did not make a lot of sense to me.
Depth charges away.
I mean, look, right now, if you were to look at the Giants wide receiving core. Even though Ramsey's Barden has been here before,
he's six or seven
at the moment. Yeah, he's more familiar with the offense than a lot of the other receivers who are here. He's certainly going to be way outside the top five.
I mean, he's right now. He's behind Jernigan, who's probably number five now, and
Cruz
he's Nicks, behind
Jernigan, Murphy,
and don't forget Reuben Randall.
Reuben Randall. Quite honestly,
Brandon Collins is ahead of him right now.
Terrific, terrific camp. I'm not even so sure that even a Jeremy Horn, who had a really good beginning of the offseason, might not even have a shot to be better than what Reuben Randall has shown. So, I mean, not Reuben Randall.
Ramsey's
Barden.
Right.
So, yeah, he's way, way, way off the radar screen right now. I think he's just here because they're comfortable with him. He's a decent fella. He knows the playbook. And, hey, if things should happen to go bad for some of these other guys at the back end of the depth chart, it wouldn't be such a bad thing to have Randall here.
201?
I mean, Barden. I keep getting
them. Yeah, why? Come on, Paul.
I don't know. Why am I doing that?
Giant fans will not be happy if Reuben Randall is another Ramsey's Barden.
No, not at all.
201-939-4513. Earl in California. Earl, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Hey, good morning, Earl. You're up early out there, huh?
Yeah, I'm way early. I just got off work, so I'll call in real quick.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Yeah, that question about what would you ask Parafield or Gilbride?
Yeah.
I was just wondering why don't they use the 5-2 defense more often? Because we don't have, you know, these, you know, legitimate linebackers, and you got that extra defensive tackle, and I was just wondering why they don't, you know, go ahead and use that defense.
Well, what you want to do right now in today's NFL is get as much speed on the field as possible. And even though the Giants have some pretty good athletes at defensive end, in general, you start stocking up with extra defensive linemen in the early downs, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, teams drop four or five guys in the routes on pretty much every play now, and you have these guys running around the middle of the field with five defensive linemen on the field, Earl, you're going to run into some problems with guys wide open all over the place.
I mean, you remember there were times here at one point when Coach Sheridan was the Giants' defensive coordinator, and they would drop back O.C., or Tuck.
The outrage.
Or Strahan.
The outrage.
Right?
Well, Strahan was retired by then.
Well, okay, true. Well, Michael did that a little bit
before
him. A couple times with Spags, just to keep people honest.
Kiwi, too, by the way, that year.
Kiwi, too.
He was at linebacker.
And people were just, like you say, outraged. People were just
people were not pleased.
And rightfully so, because more often than not, it was not a good thing.
Sounds good, Earl.
I just had
go ahead.
I just had one more question.
Sure.
Good question, and I was wondering since everyone's talking about how Terrell Thomas has come back and he's supposed to be healthy, and we already got, you know, Antre Roll and Stevie Brown back there, I was wondering where is Terrell Thomas going to fit, because I don't see him playing a lot at safety, and I don't see him playing a lot at corner when we have Mosley as a nickel corner.
John, I'll
is he
going to
be
one.
Like a dime type guy?
I talked to Thomas the other day about this, last week as a matter of fact, very specifically about where would he fit in if everything checks out with his knee. And he said that he'd play the nickel and that pseudo safety position in the sub package. So they're not looking at him as a true safety, so to speak. He's still going to be more of a corner, but he's not going to necessarily play outside on the wing. You follow?
He could be like the slot guy in the nickel or the dime.
If you go dime, you could go two slot guys. That's what we're more looking at.
Yeah, Earl, the way I look at it, he'd play almost the role that Antrell Roll played for most of last year as that slot corner slash safety.
Yeah. Okay?
All right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, man, thanks.
Hey, thanks, Earl. Appreciate the call, man. Take it easy. 201-939-4513. And by the way, listening to Terrell Thomas talk to the media yesterday, he sounded far more confident than I heard him any time last year before he came back.
John, I had a really good chance to talk to him last week extensively for probably at least 5 minutes in a very small group. And he's got me convinced that there's a realistic chance.
I'm coming around to it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really does. And I didn't give him much of a chance at all.
Neither
did
I. I mean, come on, two ACLs in consecutive years?
And three for his career.
Exactly.
And Thomas Davis of the Panthers, as we've talked about, is the only player in NFL history to come back from three ACLs. And so Terrell Thomas is climbing Mount Everest here to make this comeback. And I remember earlier in the offseason, I had tweeted something to that effect. Like, these odds are very long in response to a question. Terrell Thomas saw my tweet and then responded, thank you so much for your motivation. And you know what? If I helped him, God bless. Because Terrell Thomas looks like he has a chance.
Hey, look, the odds are long, though. I mean, there's really no way to – they're not impossible, but it's hard. And he said it himself, the amount of work and rehab it takes to come back from – one, let alone three ACLs, is astronomical. But there are a two-step process here still. Look, the first part, he has to be healthy, and he seems to be on his way. He's doing stuff. He's, you know, in team and individual out there a little bit. He's doing different things in practice that I didn't think he would be doing at this point, number one.
Agreed.
I think he's further ahead than what I thought.
Agreed.
Now, once he's actually healthy, he has to be explosive and quick enough to also be effective. So you can be healthy, not have any pain, do everything. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the same athlete you were before these dual injuries. So once he's healthy, then he has to show the coaching staff he can actually still do the things on the field that are necessary at a high enough level to be effective.
John, that's why it's the NFL.
Yeah.
These are the best of the best.
Yeah.
And if you're a weak link, the other team's going to find you. It's really that simple.
And so, even though it's a great story, if he's not better than Hosley, if he's not better than Aaron Ross, you can't put him out there.
Well, he's got to be better than the fifth cornerback who they might keep. Whoever
right.
that may be, because you think they've probably got room for five if they want to tweak it.
Well, here's the question, though. If you keep five, don't you want your fifth guy to be a big-time special teams player? Is Terrell Thomas going to be able to do that?
I think Aaron Ross is going to play special teams.
A coverage teams, too? I guess he could.
He could.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that. That's fair.
They'll get some help out of him there.
That's a good point. And Hosley will, too.
Has done some, too.
Yep.
So they could get away with keeping Thomas if they want to. It really comes down to his ability to be able to stick. And I'll tell you what, this kid James is my...
Charles James?
Charles James is my undrafted rookie free agent pick of the minicamp to stick on the Giants roster. Not the 53 necessarily, but at least practice squad.
Tell you what, he better start catching his kickoffs and punts, though. He's had some issues with that first 2 days of practice.
He has. But his play in the secondary has really been pretty good this spring.
And a real good kid personality. I'm not sure how much you've actually talked to him in the locker room.
Have not.
Really, really nice kid.
Have not.
Really good kid.
But I like his hands. I like his athleticism. I like his quickness. I like his footwork. I think he's got a chance to be a practice squad.
He better start catching those kickoffs and punts.
Well, you know, right now, that's a wide-open deal.
Well,
they got about eight guys that they're trying out back there.
You know, that could be his ticket, though. If he really wants a chance to be on the 53 every week this year, that's his chance.
I got a suspicion he's not going to be the 53. I think he's practice squad. But I think the point is he's going to stick.
Right.
I think he's going to be around. And that's when I make my pick. I do put that caveat.
I think that's fair.
Practice squad means he sticks.
I'm with you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to NYG Man down in Norfolk, Virginia. What's up, NYG Man?
What's up, John? What's up, Paul?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I got two questions.
Sure.
Mr. Kevin Gilbride, if your offense is so complicated, why does it seem like the defense has no problem figuring it out? And Mr. Perry Fuel, how is it that you can dominate San Francisco and dominate Green Bay, but we can't get that on a consistent level?
Okay, I think your question for Perry Fuel is very fair. How do you make the defense more consistent from week to week? One week they look like world beaters, and next week they don't look very good. I think that's a fair question. I'll take some issue with your Gilbride question because this Giants offense, except for last year, which was the exception, and I'll put that more on the Knicks injury than anything else, the Giants have been a top five offense for the better part of Kevin Gilbride's tenure here. They've been one of the best offenses in the league every single year, so it has not been very easy for defenses to figure out.
I concur with John, and I'll go one step further and tell you that the times where this offense has been stagnant and has tripped over its own feet is because of lack of execution. And in some cases, a banged-up offensive line is the kind of thing that can totally sabotage whatever it is you want to do on the field.
Okay. I got one more thing.
Sure.
Paul, I agree with you because I was doing this every year. I choose somebody on defense and offense. I really think it's Charles James is going to do that, and I'm going with Adrian Robertson.
Oh, Adrian Robertson. You know,
yeah.
He's kind of a mystery to me right now, John.
Well, I think he's a mystery to everybody. We just haven't seen enough of him.
I know this.
He has the size speed. We know that.
Size speed, and he does catch the ball well in practice when they throw it to
him. But is he going to be where he's supposed to be? That's the question.
And quite honestly, I haven't seen him hit enough to know.
And can he block? Yeah, that's a good point, too. That's something he never did at Cincinnati. He was never an inline tight end, which is a problem.
And you know, I get a lot of questions about him, too. Another Twitter thing that keeps popping up. And I don't have much of an answer for people on that because, John, you and I both know at practice, again, even during the regular season, it is so watered down, you just don't know. The physicality aspect of the game is something that's very, very hard to gauge these days. It's not like in the 80s where you could go out there and watch practice and you knew pretty much who was capable of doing what on Sunday. Now it's kind of like you have to project. This is not an eyewitness kind of thing anymore.
I think he's going to surprise y'all, fellas. Y'all have a great day, and Big Blue for life.
All right, NYG, man. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Gerson's out in California. Gerson, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, pal?
Real quick, on TT, I was thinking, I was looking at him more of a corner hybrid safety. I was thinking about him more like in a nickel package, you know, with, like, when we're facing, for example, like the Niners, they have a fast tight end that he could actually keep up with them in coverage. I don't know what you guys think about that. And then also on the Kevin Gilright question, I'll be out of the new group of wide receivers that came into camp, who is standing out, and who do you think will step up from the veterans?
Well, John, if I could take the back end for just a second, I think Brandon Collins is the free agent who was also here for a cup of coffee last summer and almost snuck on.
Yeah, they honestly wanted to try to sneak him onto the practice squad, but David Douglas was frankly just so productive as a wide receiver that he ended up sticking around.
Yeah, and then Douglas signed with Tampa on the regular roster during the season. Collins has shown me a lot of good things, you know, and so he's the one that's kind of risen above the fray a little bit during the spring practices. Reuben Randle's looked good, you know, for sure. And I'll tell you, he's not a receiver, but John, a lot of people here in the East Coast did not get a chance to see a lot of Brandon Myers because he played with the Raiders. John, I really like this kid's hands. He catches the ball very, very
And Eli quickly. Seems to trust him even this early to be in the right spot.
If you're a quarterback and you see a guy who's got cotton for fingers, you know, that's going to make you real happy. Thank you. I think he's gone.
All right, Gerson, appreciate the call, man. We got some Twitter questions here. I'll work my way down the list. Mark Drobile, Twitter confuses me. That's the first thing he points out. I know it often confuses you as well.
Thank you. I thought I was the only one.
All right, but are any of the linebacker slots set in stone yet, or is each position up for grabs? I think each position's up for grabs.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Who on this linebacking core has proven that they can be productive over the course of 16 games as a starter? Name me one guy, John. Just one.
You can make the argument that Dan Connor has, but that's
full-time, 16-game productive starter? I don't think he's done that.
Did he do that for a year in Carolina? Probably not. Fair. Agreed.
He was a situational substitutional backer, as I recall.
Yeah.
You know, to say you're going to be the guy? So that's something they got to figure out.
From Saraceno, our starting offensive line will be?
Beatty, Booth, Boss, Snee, Pugh.
You're going to go Pugh at right tackle. How do you think he's going to outplay both Brewer and Deal?
Yeah, I still think that they're looking at Brewer as a swing guy, more as a guard guy, and I think that Deal's going to be the third tackle.
And Gilbert has yelled at Brewer a couple times during these minicamp practices, by the way.
James
Tracy has kind of gone around him a couple times.
James Brewer's been here for a couple of years now, John.
This is time. He's got to produce.
And what's my phrase? Show me, player.
Yep.
Okay, James, show me.
All right, here we go, Jeremy Carpenter. That's not a very good question. I'm not going to ask that. it's stupid. It's not even that funny. His response, if you had a question for Fuel Gilbride, what would it be? What the heck are you thinking? It doesn't make any sense. It's not even funny. Come on, Jeremy. You can do better than that.
Actually, they're probably thinking about how they've got to go inside for practice today because it's raining.
It is not pleasant. After such miserable. A beautiful day yesterday, you cannot get a better day. Today stinks.
Yeah, 1 to 2 inches of rain in the forecast.
I know.
Not good.
Not good. Mike Farmer is 2, 1 for Gilbride, 1 for Fuel. The Gilbride one, how about adding a little bit of trickery into the playbook this year? Just a couple of trick plays. We actually saw a flea flicker during one of the minicamp practices.
Yeah, you know, that's not something Tom Coughlin really likes to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a Gilbride thing. I think that's a Coughlin thing.
Yeah. It's, look, here's what you have to understand about Tom. First of all, he's old school, obviously. But second of all, Tom believes that when you put the kind of effort and the preparation into what you do for the game plan during the course of the week, it's not the time on Sunday to go off the page and start goofing around. And I respect that. I really do, because they've built that game plan around the odds that indicate to them how they can best succeed in a given game.
Fair enough. Mike Farmer, second question. I think this is a good one. This is one of the questions I'm going to try to ask Prairie Fuel later on today. Is now that you have a lot more defensive line depth, are you going to be willing to blitz a little bit more this year?
John, that's all about what's going on with the back seven. If your back seven is suspect and not playing well, you can't start sending the dogs because you're leaving yourself wide open to a punch in the gut. And that's why Fuel has been so apprehensive to send extra people. And I don't blame him. Look, you and I both know the best case scenario in any NFL defensive scheme is to get pressure from your defensive line and not have to blitz, because that allows you to do more things than you could possibly imagine to stop the opponent.
Got some more stuff coming in here. Ricky DiDonato, I guess.
Paisan, baby.
It sounds like it.
All right.
Why does Gilbride go 3 wide receivers on 3rd-and-1 so much? And then for Perry Fuel, they should play. Why don't you play more press man so the defensive line has more time to get to the quarterback?
Well, which one do you want?
Go both.
Okay. The 3rd-and-1 is easy. The Giants are trying to spread the field as much as possible to give the backs, if they're going to run it, as much open space to find that first down.
And I think by the numbers, the Giants have actually run it better in spread formations than they have in tight formations.
No doubt.
Right.
And part of the reason was, as well, John, the offensive line, let's face it, it has been nicked up. It has struggled the last few years. That running game has not been consistent. The power running game has just not been there. So that's why you do that. The other question was about blitzing?
For Fuel, about press man coverage to give press the defensive line more time to get to the quarterback.
Okay. In theory, that's a wonderful thing, but your guy's got to be physically up to the task of
right.
doing it.
And last year, Webster's got a broken hand, a bad hamstring. You want him playing press man?
Can't do it. And you had Hosley out there for some of the time. Rookie, still learning his way through the league, making a ton of rookie mistakes. And every time he got burned, you know, we'd get a phone call or a tweet that said, you know, Hosley's going to get out of there. Hosley's terrible. How many people told me last year Hosley's the worst slot corner in the league? Guys, he's a rookie. You got to live with rookie mistakes. You never, ever, ever start grading a corner until he's had 2 years of playing time. Never, ever grade a rookie corner. That's not what he's going to be. You'll have to wait a little bit for him. So, That's my answer to that question.
This one from Andrew for Gilbride. Why did Eli go away from passing to the running back and tight end when it was obvious he had to should stop forcing it downfield and maybe be more willing to do a little bit dink and dunk?
Well, and I think the answer to that, John, is pretty obvious. The Giants do like the big play. Yeah. They do like the long ball, and Eli's pretty good at hitting it.
And that's how they won the Super Bowl, let's be honest.
Yes, sir.
So, well, you know, if Knicks, maybe you got to make an adjustment, but with Knicks back this year and assuming Cruz signs, they should be back to making some big plays down the field.
You would hope so.
For Fuel, why does the scheme go from I think you'll like this question because he uses some Paul Dottino lingo here.
Ooh.
Why does Perry Fuel go from vanilla to hot fudge sundae with no rhyme or reason on his defensive scheme? Can we get some creativity, please?
Again, this comes with having confidence in the guys that you're putting on the field. And if there's one thing you can say about Perry Fuel, he is very creative. But when you start taking away a bunch of his chess pieces, there's only so much he can do. Let me go back 2 years ago to when the Giants won the Super Bowl. John, you remember, the Giants' defense in the postseason gave up an average of, what, 16 points a game?
They were fantastic after being extremely mediocre for the first 14 games of the year.
Okay.
And frankly, mediocre is being kind.
Okay. And I submit to you, it's no coincidence that that team was at its healthiest during the postseason, especially on defense. And as you recall, and I remember saying this on MSG the morning of the Super Bowl against the Patriots, it was the first time all season, and this went back all the way to opening day, that Tom Coughlin actually had 53 healthy bodies to take into kickoff. They were the healthiest they had been on their final game of the year.
They didn't have one unhealthy scratch.
Not one.
Not one. Jaquan Williams, I think,
no
was the
last. No coincidence.
I think Williams was the last guy back for that, right? Wasn't he the last guy that was healthy? With Herzlick?
I think he was.
Might have been Herzlick,
actually.
Remember he had the high ankle?
Herzlick.
He had
yes,
the high
he
ankle he was coming back from? Yeah.
And Bradshaw, of course, was gimpy, but he was healthy enough to play, and so I don't count that. It's no coincidence, John, okay? No coincidence.
All right, McP on Twitter. This is actually pretty creative. I'll give him credit. It's somewhat amusing. It might fly over your head. You're not really amused. You know, I'm not sure if you're into this, but do you have a better time being in Jane's Addiction or Porno for Pyros? No, wait. That says Perry Fuel, not Perry Farrell. See, right over his head. Look at him. He's confused. Hashtag common error. See, he's confused. I knew he'd be confused. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought he was being pretty creative. He was in both bands, just saying. You ever heard of Jane's Addiction? No, nothing.
This is kind of like that whole Game of Thrones thing, which is so far out of left field for me that I'm clueless.
If Paul Dettino was in a real-life Game of Thrones, he would have made it through, like, the second episode. He would say something to the wrong person, and he'd be strung up in no time.
No. I'd call my Goomba friends, and we'd wipe out the room.
No, oh, please.
That's what we would do. All right, you did that red wedding would be nothing compared to what my people would do, okay?
Wow, the fact that you even know what the red wedding is, that's actually pretty impressive.
Okay, good.
Very good. All right, Marwan Ali, a couple tweets coming in. He wants me to ask you if you think the Giants will add any more veteran free agents before training camp starts.
I think you possibly could see a veteran running back.
Vonte Leach?
Boy,
your thoughts.
I'd love to see him, but I don't see how they can afford him.
Well, the question is, too, why would he come here knowing that Hennessy is going to eventually come back and they like Hino? They're going to want to give him that job back eventually. Wouldn't you rather go someplace where he can sign a long-term contract and be their starting fullback?
The problem there is, John, how many teams in the league truly have a role for Vonta Leach?
Not many.
And that reduces his options. And then, on top of that, you say, well, how many of those teams do you believe have a legitimate chance to be a playoff team?
I happen to agree. I think the Giants should definitely investigate. I think it's certainly worth it considering the seriousness of Finoski's knee injury. I think it's definitely worth
the time.
Supposedly
they made a call, which they should have done.
Right.
But I just don't see how they're going to be able to scrape up enough nickels and dimes for him.
Bone Marrow Blue writes in, do you see Prince unseating Webster as the number one cornerback spot?
Not this year. Corey Webster's going to have a big bounce back year, I promise you.
For Gilbride, how about Meyer's blocking ability? Your thoughts?
It's something he's going to have to progress on because he was known as a receiver in Oakland. But until we actually get him here in the Giants system and see what he can do and start hitting people, it's really hard to grade him.
Marwan Ali also believes James Brewer still thinks he's on scholarship, doesn't have a lot of confidence in him. Not sure how much of a scholarship you have when you're a fourth round?
Yeah.
Brewer?
Show me player.
Show me here, no question. Let's see, what else do we got here? Mike Farmer, a very smart quarterback, very good at play-action passes, thinks that could allow a little bit more creativity in the offense, some more trick plays, things like that.
Well, Giants do use a lot of play-action, though, already.
And Marwan wants me to ask you, what about Tim Hightower? You think he could be a veteran running back they might bring in?
He would be a guy you'd want to think about, but I don't think the Giants are going to bring in a veteran running back until training camp. Okay, it's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen in the next 7 weeks. After they start training camp and they start hitting, okay, maybe even after the first or second preseason game, that's the time when I would start thinking about picking up the phone and bringing somebody in.
Have you been getting all this Twitter spam, by the way? The last 3 or 4 days, whenever I get, like, retweeted by the Giants, I get all these, like, weight loss Twitter spam.
There are some people who think I'm Twitter spam.
Well, I don't know. I think you're just spam in general, to be honest with you. You're just verbal spam.
Thank you so much.
It's annoying. It's messing up my timeline here. I'm not pleased by this.
I don't have an answer for
it. No, you got nothing.
No.
You know, Paul, I expect more out of you.
Isn't this whole Vine thing Twitter spam?
No, Vine is a new social media medium where you put together little, like, video segments. You put them together, and they're called Vines.
Yes.
I'm guessing Paul Dettino has not sent out his first
Vine
yet.
Synonym for Vine is spam. Okay. Four-letter word that equals Vine. Spam. Thank you.
Or Paul. How about that?
Yeah, I suppose.
All right. Final day of minicamp, Paul. What are you looking for as we're about to head out to practice here?
I'm looking for everybody to stay healthy. For goodness sakes, John.
So far, so good, by the way.
This team has had some nasty, nasty injury bug bites over the last couple of years during OTAs and minicamps. I'd like to see the guys get through today without any injury.
Sounds good.
That's
Paul,
it.
Paul, we appreciate the time. And we'll get you back in here sometime before training camp. And now that training camp's here, you're going to be able to come in and do the show in the morning during training camp days, right?
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
John, you know, it's it's going to be a long 7 weeks of hibernation until we get to July 27th.
What is Paul Dottino going to do without Giants football for the next 7 weeks?
Crawl in a cave with my DVDs and watch last year's games all over again.
Is that really what you're going to do?
No, actually, John, I got to start preparing my charts because what I usually do is by the time the season starts, I'm old school, as you know, okay?
So I've heard that from people.
Yeah, so I don't put a lot of stuff in the computer. I mean, some stuff goes in the computer, but a lot of my stuff is still pen to pad.
Okay.
And so I got to diagram my charts and my
Or
et cetera, et cetera.
Or quill to scroll, perhaps.
There
would
you
be
go.
A better way to look at
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
No?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Was it Anvil or Anvil to tablet, I suppose.
Okay. Like the old school printing press type
there
of
you
thing.
Go. Right. Yabba dabba do.
Jesus. All right, Paul, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Enjoy practice, and we'll catch up with you before camp.
You got it, John.
For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmell. Great job on the phones on Twitter all morning, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stay safe in the storm. And hopefully you have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week on John. I'm off tomorrow, so we'll talk to you next week on Giants.com. Everybody have a good one.